The joy to be here again in the Forestdale Baptist Church Wednesday night of revival meeting 2022, the month of August. We really appreciate the members and the regular attenders of this church, along with Brother Hedrick and his Wednesday evening group from out in Wolf Valley. To get away from the Wolf Valley, come up on the high hill over here to rest a while. And we appreciate so much these coming to share this service with us. I want to thank you for the opportunity you've given me to come again. It's been a blessing to renew acquaintances and meet a few new people that I don't remember from years gone by. I've enjoyed preaching. I don't remember a time that I ever preached in this church when it was hard to preach. I can't say that about every place. But I have good memories of Forestdale. Always had great liberty in preaching here all these years. This year marks number 20. Been here 20 times for revival since. Thank you so much for that opportunity. I appreciate the nice room. Somebody had some forethought about that. And you know, and I know some that were largely involved with that, that are no longer with us. Many of you, no doubt, were involved as well. It's very adequate and a real blessing. And I have asked permission and been granted by the one that I asked to make use of that facility for another week, if God permit. We're going to start meetings out at the Bays Mountain Baptist Church Sunday morning through Wednesday evening of next week. So we appreciate the use of the facility here. And you've always been a blessing. I do not presently, but this is the only church that I have preached at through the years that I had keys to for years. Brother Jack Wilkerson insisted that. He said, "You keep these keys." I had keys to the van, keys to this building, keys to that building, keys to everything around me. He said, "I may not be in town. You may not get a hold of anybody." So you make use of this place however you need to.
Amen.
And I kept those keys for years in the motor home and never used them that I know of without calling. I don't ever remember being caught when I couldn't get a hold of Brother Jack. And I'm not the kind of feller, if I can get a hold of somebody, I'm going to let them know I'm around. But I appreciate that confidence, I really do. I'm reading tonight in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Not only do we appreciate the room, whatever you have given this week is much appreciated as well. That's the way we live and are sustained, and you've always done great in that area.
Thank you, Lord.
God doesn't expect more of you than you're capable of, and He doesn't expect more of me than I'm capable of. And that's the way God operates. Whatever it is, it'll be absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read 12 verses of this chapter. And I'll make you aware, if this is your first time here, Every message in this meeting has been built around a particular word, and it begins with an H. H. I'm eventually going to bring messages and call the total series alphabetical sermons. I'm in the H's. That doesn't mean I've got everything between A and H. I'm just doing this as God leads, and I've enjoyed it. So we're in H's. Now, we've already talked about hunger. We've talked about heart. We've talked about help. We've talked about hope. What I want you to do is pay attention as I read through. See if you can pick out what I'm going to talk about tonight. That'll keep you focused, maybe. Okay? Here we go. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow of thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. All right, who wants to go first to tell me what I'm going to preach on? Well, we've already preached on heart.
Honor.
You think it'd be honor, huh? Well, that's a thought for next time.
Happy.
I want you to look at verse number 8. I want to talk to you a little about health tonight. Health. The word health only occurs 17 times in our King James Bible. 17 times. Most of those times occurs in the book of Proverbs. Also occurs in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Acts, the book of 3 John. Other than that, all references to hell, the word hell, appear in the book of Proverbs. There are other words used in the scriptures that are synonyms for the word health. Webster defines health as a state of being sound or whole, W-H-O-L-E, in body, mind, and soul, especially being free from physical disease or pain. That's pretty comprehensive. And yet, it's not so long that you couldn't memorize that. He uses the word in his definition that is used pretty prolifically in the writings of Paul, particularly in the pastoral epistles. It's that word, sound. Sound. I don't know how many of you have ever had occasion to make out a will. But if you ever make out a will, the lawyer will instruct you to begin with these words: I, being of sound mind, fully in charge of my capacities, and all of this kind of thing. In other words, first thing you have to establish if you're going to draw up a legal will is that you know what you're doing. That nobody is coercing you, nobody is coaching you, nobody but you is involved. This is absolutely, totally your will. Soundness. Soundness. Paul would talk about such things as a sound mind. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And in the list he gives, he has given us the spirit and the faculty of a sound mind. Paul would also emphasize that we need to have sound words. A lot of words are not sound. Tragically, in the modern world, the contemporary world that we live in, people are literally making up their own words and their own definitions for words that we have used down through the ages.
That's right.
They are giving different definitions for those words. Now, Peter used the word to describe that practice. He's talking about deceivers, and he said, they with feigned words. To be feigned means to be false, or it can just mean this. The word feigned, the Greek word used that is the word plastos. It's the root word we get our word plastic from. That's interesting, isn't it? You buy an automobile, there's a high percentage of what you bought is plastic. If you hit a bug, it'll be a bug. I'm serious with it. It is amazing. It's plastic. You say, well, boy, it's got a big bumper on it, but it's plastic.
Yeah, that's right.
The automobile I came up with, more plastic about it than anything else. Why do they use so much plastic? You can form it any way you want to form it. Your society is taking good words and plasticizing them. Warping the meanings, the definition. And you never know what somebody meant nowadays when they use a word unless you can get a hold of their dictionary. I've got where I don't answer somebody if they ask me a question, particularly a doctrinal question, without asking this. You let me see your definition of what you've asked me and I'll ask you a question. Yeah. You see, if you've got a crazy definition and you ask me, are you approving of this particular thing? And you ask me and I say yes. You're going to tell people that based on your definition without ever getting mine. That's where a lot of falsehood gets started. We're not interested in plastic words. We're interested in sound words. Sound words. Now, I want to talk to you tonight on this matter of health. I remember hearing a little nursery rhyme, I guess it was, years ago, and that's been a number of years now. You may can finish it for me. Early to bed.
Early to rise.
Go ahead. What was it? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man what? Healthy, wealthy, wise. I know there's one of those things that just not true. I know one of them's not. Huh? How many of y'all have that? Of course, I'm not sure that I've met the criteria. Been a long time since I went to bed early.
Yes.
Huh? I'm not going to pry into your business, but very few people that I know go to bed before 10 o'clock. Unless they're a shift worker. They might go to bed before. There's something about that. Now, my parents, you give them a half of that, they'd be in the bed before dark. Huh? I don't know. It might have made them wise. They were pretty wise. They had a lot of health issues. And they sure wasn't wealthy. I still like the little saying. And I'm really interested in the essence of it. I'd like to have the healthiest life I could possibly have. And I'm not just talking about physical health. I'm talking about spiritual health. Now, I want to read you one of these texts where the word health appears. It's in the first chapter and only chapter of the book of 3 John. I was out with Brother Hedrick earlier in the year and we kind of made a sachet through the book of 2 John. We gave it a little pulpit time out there with Brother Hedrick. I've been working on 3 John since then because it don't get much time either. 1 John is used quite a lot. You get to looking around, you discover there's a lot of books of our Bible are totally ignored. 3 John, verse number 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now evidently the first line is having to do with physical prosperity. The second line having to do with spiritual or soul prosperity. How? What is involved in a healthy, wholesome life? What is involved? Now, that said, I'm coming right back to Proverbs 3. I want to walk through these verses that we've read, highlight some things, give you a few thoughts about it. Let me preface, this is not the whole story. It's just the part of the story that's here. There's a lot involved in having a healthy life. Spiritually, physically. You'd like to have a healthy life. You'd like to have a healthy spiritual life. You would like, if you're a Christian, to have a healthy home life.
Amen.
And I'm prepared to tell you, these principles are involved in every bit of that. Now, let's start out like this. Verse number 1 to verse number 4. See, we're going to take it in big chunks. Verse 1 to verse number 4. A healthy life is a life that is well connected. Well connected. Now, let me put my finger on some things. Look at verse 1 and verse 3. It is well connected in the matter of its priorities. What and who always comes first in a healthy life? Forget it. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You say, well, now, preacher, this is a man talking to his son. I understand that. But you and I are to extrapolate from that the fact, I, being a son of God. See, this teaches how I ought to relate to my earthly father, but it also teaches me how I ought to relate to my heavenly father. What ought to be priority, or who ought to be priority in my life? Surely, we'd all say, our Heavenly Father. Now, that He is our priority. All right, look in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. Now, I want to say something about verse 1 and verse number 2. Those verses identify our priority. He uses the word law. He uses the word commandment. As far as I'm concerned, that can mean the will of God, the ways of God, the Word of God. The Word of God has to be the priority. The work of God has to be the priority. But now, look at the text. Charles Bridges, the old Puritan, whom I love to read, particularly on the book of Proverbs. He is the best writer I've ever read on the book of Proverbs, bar none. Charles Bridges. Where does these priorities come from? Do they first involve the hand, or do they involve the heart? Did you notice that? You say, forget not my law, let thine hand keep my commandments. No. Let thy heart keep my commandments. And then he said in verse 3, write them on the table of thy heart. Now, down in Mississippi, we have a phrase that we sometimes use for the idea of memory. So and so knows that by heart. Now that praise comes from right here. But I want to go a little deeper than that. I've known some people, and I'm not disparaging the idea of memorizing Scripture. There's some value to that. But I'm going to tell you something. If it stops with the memory and it is never practiced in the life, I'm going to say somebody's forgotten. Real knowing involves doing. Amen. There is such a thing as getting a lot of things in your head and never getting them in your heart. And those things that are in your head may affect your hands. It may affect your feet. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing it won't affect if it gets in your heart. I had a pastor one time that said this: a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 12 inches. What he meant by that is, there's a lot of people that know up here a lot of stuff, but they don't have anything in here. Somewhere, it has to get in the heart. It's not just a cold, calculated saying, I've got to do this, I've got to do... Oh, no. That's not the relationship here. Our relationship to the Word of God is a heart relationship. I will serve Thee because I
love
Thee.
Amen.
There it is. I will obey God in my life because He's my Father. I have a relationship with Him and I love Him.
Amen.
Not only does he talk about priorities of a well-collected life, but he talked about the practicality of it. The practicality of it. Look in verse 4. Thou shalt find favor and good understanding. I'm going to stop right there. How many of you had rather have favor come your way than you had disfavor? There's something about a life where God is in charge, God is honored, His Word is magnified in a life that will curry some favor. I'm all for that. It is very practical. With the knowing, there is also a showing. Memorizing and then minimizing is madness and meaninglessness. It is. I've known a few people in my life that could quote chapter after chapter of the Bible, but it didn't do anything for their vocabulary.
Right.
They had a filthy mouth. An ugly vocabulary. Huh? What's the potential of such a life? Let's look back in verse 2. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. And he broadens that out in the sight of God and man. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the nature of a proverb. I should have talked about that to start with. The proverbs, we regard them as true principles. God inspired this book as He did other books. But it's called the Book of Proverbs because it is Proverbs. And sometimes we read Proverbs as if it said promises. I'll let you go home with that question. Is a proverb a promise? If it's a promise, why didn't he name it promise? How many of us have thought about that? You ever heard anybody talk about that? Think about it. These things are true principles, but they are not absolute promises. You say, when I preach, I've lived a Christian life and everything. I'm not going to die young. Hey, I've known lots of fine Christian people that died very early.
Yep.
I have. Now there is a principle that's tied to one of the commandments in it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and then the purpose clause, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that is reiterated in a little bit different form in the New Testament.
Amen.
Here's what I'm going to say. You got a lot better potential of having a long, peaceful life if you honor God than you do if you rebel against God.
Amen.
I don't think anybody could argue with that. I read in the same book of Proverbs this statement. The way of the transgressor is hard. I've known people and watched people who set their heart against God. And I'm going to tell you, son, rebellion against God, transgression against God, it's a hard way to live, it's a hard way to die, and it's a horrible way to face eternity.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
After all, the only people that know any real peace are people that know God.
Yes, sir.
Through His Son, Jesus Christ. Who would want a long life or a prolonged life if you couldn't have any peace in it? All right. I think maybe the point is made. A healthy life, what would it involve? It would involve the right priorities first. Priorities. A well-connected life. All right, look in verse 5 down to verse 8. It is also a wisely directed life. Wisely directed life. These verses have gotten far more pulpit time than the verses around them. I don't have to reiterate to you, these are some of my favorite verses. I've depended on these verses all of my life. I encourage you to depend on these verses. They are tremendous principles for the best and the healthiest life spiritually in any other way that you could ever have. Let me just comment on a little bit, because we've heard a lot of preaching about peace. Word trust is an interesting word. That's one of the prominent questions in modern society. Your car breaks down. What's the first thing come to your mind? Who can I trust? You begin to sense something going on with you physically. Wow. What doctor can I trust? Isn't that the big issue? Who can I trust? You need some financial advice. Who can you trust? This verse tells you, the first and foremost person, trust the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
trust in the Lord. Obviously, we have to deal with one another in the world. Be careful who you trust. Be careful who you talk about. I don't mean you have to live like a skeptic. But you better be careful. You better not flirt with who you trust in this world. You'll get in more trouble than you can get out of. May get in trouble at the best. I am a particularly, and I'm going to use a strong word, I am a hater of what is being forced on us in modern society.
Amen.
We are being forced to do everything we do on the internet where the whole wide world can look at it if they're mind to. I don't mind God knowing what I do. I'm pretty particular about who else knows. But I don't mind God knowing. And as far as I'm concerned, He's really the one that counts.
Right, sir.
But we're being forced now to expose everything about our lives, physically, financially, everything about our lives to the whole wide world. You say, well, they're not watching me. Good Lord, you're in for a wake up. Yeah. You're in for a wake up. That's spooky to me.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of fella, I like my business to be my business and not yours.
Right.
Unless it needs to be yours. If it needs to be yours, that's fine. But if it don't need to be yours, I'd rather you didn't know everything about me. But now that's not the world we're living in. They're saying, oh, we're protecting, we're... Who are they? Who do you think they are? Son, it's just like jumping in a bar full of rattlesnakes as far as I'm concerned, and I hate it. I hate it. When the World Wide Web first came out, somebody asked me, said, are you on the web? I said, no, I'm not on the web. They said, well, you're going to get on it. I said, well, only thing I know about webs is spider webs, and spider webs are built to catch things. And I said, if you want my opinion, I believe that will probably be the thing that collapses the whole financial system of the whole wide world. Because if everybody's out there, everything's exposed, eventually it will be exploited. So much I'll get off of that soapbox. You just need to trust God.
Yes, sir.
Trust God. You say, well, preacher, you don't think God can handle the internet? Yes, and a million more internets like it. But I'm like the old boy that had never flown on a plane. Somebody talked him into flying on the plane. He was sitting up there next to the pilot in a little plane. The pilot looked over there at him and he said, you seem to be a little shaky. He said, I am. He said, don't you think God can protect you? He said, I sure do. He said, well, don't you know you're not going to go before your time comes? He said, I think that's true too. He said, well, why are you so shaky? He said, I'm worried about whether or not it's your time or not. How many of you got that one? I wouldn't want to be up in that plane with that pilot if it come his time.
Right.
I mean, my time might quickly follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Trust in the Lord. I like this word, trust. It carries two ideas with it. One is the word careless. That's not going to make sense to you. The other is the word confidence. Now that's what most people would think of as an oxymoron. You ever heard of that word? Oxymoron is two words used together that look like they don't fit. They call it oxymoron. I don't know which is up and which is a moron. We'll leave that alone. But now here's a picture of careless confidence. You ever seen a little baby? How many of you have seen a little baby? Seen a little baby. Some people in here are going to see a little baby pretty quick. At least it appears that way to me. Now, that little baby can be handled almost any way the mother wants to handle. She can handle that little baby, lay him on her shoulder, cradle him down there, wrap him up or leave him unwrapped, pick him up by the arm or the foot or whatever. That little baby don't usually make much of a fuss, as long as it's mom. You take hold of it. You got two problems if you take hold of somebody else's baby. Number one, you don't smell right. That baby knows it's mama. Number two, you don't feel right. That baby is carelessly confident with its mother. How many of you see it now?
Amen.
Carelessly confident with its mother. You can take it, put it in the same position, and it'll yell like the Comanche. And if you're an Indian, I don't mean to be offensive. Got a lot of Indian friends, as well as all other kinds of friends. But I'm just saying to you tonight, it's horrified of somebody else, but the mother can just do just about anything she wants or needs to do. And the little fellow just relaxed, just carelessly confident. I like that idea. Oh, wouldn't it be just good to look at God that way?
Yeah,
man. Why yell about it? Why fuss about it? Just lean over on Him and relax. He can have it. And He will have it. Trust in the Lord. I think I'd have been a lot more healthy physically tonight if I'd have done a lot more trusting rather than trying. I do. I first began to have heart trouble. I went to the cardiologist and he looked at me and he said, well, you're a preacher. I said, I plead guilty to that. He said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, hallelujah. I'm glad to know that you're a Christian. He said, I want to ask you something. Are you a worrier? I said, shoot if you want to. I'm kidding. I worry about everything, and if I can't find anything, I borrow something from somebody. Anybody in here guilty of that besides me? He's confessing for a while. Wow. Worrier.
Yeah.
My. Dr. Strauss identified worry. He said it's something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And he said it's similar to a rocking chair. You'll never make any progress with it. Careless especially confident. Trust in the Lord completely. All thine heart.
Yes.
The idea there is that a person probably could have part of his trust here and a little bit of it over there. No, trust in the Lord with A-L-L. Completely.
Amen.
And then he said, caution, lean not. If I don't understand, that word lean is a synonym for the word trust. Did you ever sing that little chorus?
Yeah.
Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus.
Amen.
See that word lean and the word trust, it's the same idea. But it's turned a different way. Lean not to your own understanding. Just keep trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Keep leaning on Jesus. Huh?
Amen.
Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him.
Amen. Amen.
That word acknowledge means to own. Anybody in here play basketball? Play basketball. You play high school ball, college ball, whatever ball you play. Anything except families. Most time you have a referee. You going for the layup, but you foul somebody on the way up, he's going to call you. You ever see that basketball player that was honest? The ref called a foul. He raised his hand. What did he do? He acknowledged the ref was right. He owned his mistake. This text, you own your master. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He's master, I'm servant. You get it? Alright. And what is the general result of that? You'll find out He is directing your path. And He's directing it when you know about it, and He's most times directing it when you don't know about it. But He's still directing it. Verse 7, again, is a cautionary verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's one of the big phrases in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord. What in the world does that mean? When a person has the right reverential awe for God, who He is, and what He said in His Word, I promise you, he'll have a compass to guide him. You have a compass to guide him. Let me get to our main verse tonight. These are some of the consequences of what he's been talking about. It shall be, it meaning your trust, your acknowledgement, not being wise but fearing the Lord. It shall be health. Health. To thy navel and marrow to thy bone. I don't want to get into that very much. But now the word navel, notice this, it is spelled with an E. This is talking about the human anatomy. We commonly refer to it as the belly button. Yeah, belly button. Somebody asked me one time, is there anything we have that Adam didn't have? And that's the only thing anybody could think of Adam didn't have. People come up with off the wall stuff, don't they? And I want you to think about the importance of that place. That umbilical cord is literally your lifeline prior to your birthing. There are nerves at that particular place in your body that goes to every area of your body. They are still there. You would be surprised at the medicinal value of applying certain things to that place. Because absorbing through the skin, the nerves to every place in your body will be affected. Look at that when you get about 6 months somewhere. Now, what's the next thing? Not only did he say it will be health to thy neighbor. The navel is generally in the middle of the body. You put God right in the middle of everything in your life, it can't help but make a vast difference. But then he said, it'll be marrow to the bones. Now what is marrow? M-A-R-R-O-W. Marrow. Well, all bones have an empty space, a hollow place. All your bones. Your larger bones, of course, that's going to be a larger place. But inside that cavity in your bones is where marrow is found. Many of you have heard of a bone marrow transplant. Leukemia patients is one area. Bone marrow, some way the marrow, that's where the life is active. That's the living tissue. Some way that tissue dies, that's the cause of that problem. And they found a way that they can take tissue from one person, transplant it into the marrow of a person where that tissue has died away. And if it's a good transplant, new life will be triggered just by the infusion of that particular tissue. It's amazing what God has permitted people to know. The tastiest meat that you ever eat is meat closest to bone. You ever notice that? You got a chicken leg. And all that bone. Why? You'll get some of the marrow. That's the strongest part. The most nourishing part. You cook a pork chop. I like them with bones around. Taste is better. The marrow affects the taste. I better quit. I'm just, you know, it's amazing what you see here if you just look.
Amen.
I'm talking about a healthy life, spiritually, physically. God in the middle of it. It's a life well connected. It's a life wisely directed. It is a life where wealth is honestly collected and liberally contributed. Now, I want to just come on down to verse 9. Honor the Lord. How do you honor the Lord? Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now that's a big word. Substance. We might think of that word substance as possession. But it probably includes more than possession. It includes your total person. It's not just what's in the field or what's in the finance. It's the total you. Mm-hmm. Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Amen.
And with the last. Is that the word?
No.
With the first fruits of all thine increase. Brother William Paul Kirkendall, whom I've referenced one time earlier this week, always said this: God never comes next. That's a good thing to remember. God never comes next. What belongs to God? All of it. I belong to it, really. You belong to it. But we are to honor Him, not with the last or the leftover, but with the first fruits. First and best. First and best. Well, what's the principle that goes with that? Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Amen.
That looks pretty good to me.
Amen.
Will that happen every time? That's not what it's about. This is the general. The general.
Yeah.
You say, you ever known of a Christian going bankrupt? Plenty of them. Bunches of them. I have. Christians make mistakes. We do. We can make some bad choices. You know what bad choices do? They eat your lunch. I've made some. I may be all alone, but I don't really think I am. Now, look at this. He talked about thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's an interesting thing. Let me give you this quote. And you won't find it in the Gospels, but it is attributed to Jesus. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. We are reminded of the words of our Lord when He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if you ever start looking for that where He said it and you find it, you please let me know. I want to know where you found it. I've never found it. But we know according to John 21, if all the things He did were written, the world couldn't contain the book. You believe He said it? I sure do, because Acts 20 and verse number 35 says that He said it. I can handle that. Let me give you three thoughts about money. It must always be a servant. It must never be a master. and it certainly is not our God.
Amen.
Wealth gotten honestly, contributed liberally, you will find God's blessing. And God can take a little and do more with it than anybody you've ever made. Most of what keeps God's business going in the world are people that the world don't even know their name or that they ever exist. But they have a heart to support and to do and to give, and God takes it and He keeps a record of it and He rewards and He does. I'm looking on the back wall of this church building. I've seen that on the back wall of this church building ever since I've been coming here for 20 revival meetings. Missionaries that this church supports. A small group, and nowadays smaller than I've ever seen this group. And I'm making the assumption there's still missions going out from this congregation. I'm telling you, God's not paying as much attention to the overall size or the overall whatever as He is to the sacrifice that goes in to what it is that you're doing.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to have to hurry up. Verse 11. Healthy. Good life. Well connected. Wisely directed. Wealth is collected honestly, contributed liberally, and life that is willingly corrected. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. The word chastening indicates divine activity. It happens to every person that's saved by the grace of God. The chastening of God. The word chasten involves instruction. It may also involve punitive action if necessary. It also includes restoration and further instruction and more forgiveness. There's a lot involved in that matter of chastening. But He not only talked about divine activity of chastening, He talked about dangerous attitudes we could have about it. He said, despise not. Despise not. You read a verse of Scripture and it says, do this. This is what you're supposed to do right here. You kind of say, well, I don't like that. I ain't gonna do that. Can I say this like it ought to be said? That's pretty stiff-necked. God's a lot bigger than we are. I'd hate to get my neck broke over something like that. You say you think God will do that and worse. Don't like those ideas, but they're realities. Despise not the chastening. Beware of dangerous attitudes. Don't be weary with His correction. You heard about the little boy who went to school for the first day, didn't you? And they wanted his name. Now, you're a school teacher. You can appreciate this. They wanted the little fella's name. He said, Dolly. They said, well, you've got to have a last name to go with that. What's your last name? He said, don't do it. They said, well, that can't be your last name. Oh, yes, it is. That's all I've ever heard all of my life. Dolly, don't do it. Don't do it. Weary. Weary of correction. But verse 12, there's delightful assurance. You know who God corrects? People that He loves.
Amen.
That helps me, don't it, you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad God cares more about you than just to let you keep making a mess over and over and over?
Yes.
He'll do whatever's necessary to get your attention, win your affection, and set you right where you won't waste your entire life. What a blessing.
Amen.
To have God as our Father. A couple of quotes and then a statement from F.B. Mayer. Quote number one. There is no hope for a person who cannot be corrected. None. If you're beyond correction, if I'm beyond correction, nobody can correct me, not even God. You can rest assured, hell will be my destiny. There's no hope for an uncorrected life. None. Secondly, chastening will hurt. God chastens you, it's going to hurt. But it does not harm. There's a difference in the word hurt, word harm. I won't get into the motives in the medical field, but I'd like to believe that when a doctor chooses to perform a surgery, he does it to help me, not to hurt me.
Yes.
That's what his oath says.
Do no harm.
It doesn't say don't hurt anybody. There's a difference in hurt and harm. I'm not going to list all my surgeries to tell you about it. But everyone I ever had hurt like a mission.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, I think it's helped me. Didn't harm me. F.B. Mayer, the old Englishman, wrote, God does not deal with society as a whole. He deals with individuals, one by one. Not with abuses, but with the spirit out of which arise, not with politics, but with principles. You will save your world by seeking the salvation of the souls that make it up. And you do that winning them one by one.
Amen.
What is the hope and the help and the final statement for Forestdale Baptist Church, Wolf Valley Baptist Church? What is the final word for the present time? Here it is. How many in this audience tonight will commit before you leave this building that by the help and grace of Almighty God, you will seek And you will not stop until you win at least one soul in the next year. If every soul, member of Wolf Valley, member of Forestdale, will win one soul next year, you'll be in a lot better shape next year than you are this year.
Amen.
And you have to win them one at a time.
Amen.
To win them, you got to get out there where they are and find them. Set your love on them. Meet God in the prayer room with Him on your heart. And meet Him in the workplace. Meet Him in the leisure place. Meet Him in the home. Meet Him wherever you can find Him. And determine, God, by Your grace, I'm trusting You. I want to win this person. You say, preacher, I've never been a... You can do something you've never done. You know why? You've got God helping you. You can do what you think you can't do. And I believe that's one thing He'll help you do. I really do. Preacher, I'm not a real good soul winner. I'm not asking you if you're a soul winner. I'm asking if you love Jesus and you're willing for the cause of Christ, for the benefit of your churches, to take the challenge to heart. I won't let the next year pass and not win a soul with Jesus. The future is in the fruit.
Amen.
And if we don't have some fruit, and I mean fast, everything is going to be in the past for us.
Amen.
How many of you can take that?
Amen.
I say that because every one of you right here, they're right here in my heart. Love you to death. Love you. Love what God has done. But oh, the hope and the possibility of what God will do. If we'll just do that one thing. You can't do everything and you ain't going to win everybody. Get on the singles. I'm not talking about unmarried people. I'm talking bird talk. I used to hunt birds. I could kill a couple on Covey Rise if I was close in enough. Boy, what I like was single birds. Get out in the bush and find that single lost person. Win them one by one by one. And I promise you, if you'll win one a year for 2 or 3 years around here. I'm not just trying to rev you up. I'm just trying to wake you up. And you're going to have to. You're going to have to.
Amen.
They're not just going to walk in here and sit down and say, glory, hallelujah. But if you start winning this one or winning that, it'll get out on you. Hey, did you hear? There's some people saved over there the other day at that place. And they're coming and they're getting identified and they're going to work for God. I'm going to tell you what, you let that kind of talk get out on you around here. You'll have more favor with men and you'll have favor with God.
Amen.
How about it? You understand what I'm saying to you? Let's have healthy lives, homes, churches. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the love that we feel this congregation's have for us. The love we have for them, and it's all because of the love you had for us all. We thank you tonight for your abounding mercies and your gracious love. Help us to be faithful ourselves. We have on our heart tonight a man that we love dearly. He has to be near the time of the end, 80 years old, and he needs Jesus terribly bad. Help him, our Father. Disturb him in his sleep. Draw him close to you and save him, we pray. You know who this person is. I pray in Jesus' name, you'd save that person. God help us to be able to see him won or to win him. You know who to send, what to do. But we're asking you, save him. Not because of our prayer, but just for your sake and the glory of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother Williford, Brother Gary, and Lord, we pray for Brother Woody, who is sick, and for the other men and the women that make up this congregation, Brother Calvin, and the Votaws, and other people that make up Wolf Valley. God bless every one of these people. The double portion of your Spirit and grace. Help us to be fruitful, to be useful, to bring glory to your name. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for being faithful.